Here's your latest weekly briefing from the Population Research Institute at pop.org. Why are abortion and contraception proposed as the solution to the climate crisis? Katarina Karanko reports. Why not, say climate activists? After all, they already blame human activity for climate change. So why not push for global access to abortion and contraception under the guise of climate activism to address the so-called source of all climate change, humanity? This is precisely what the abortion industry is attempting to do, although arriving at this point has proved to be quite a challenge. There have been quite a few twists and turns in the road along the way. For quite some time, the abortion industry has been associated with the population control and eugenics movements. Like China's one-child policy, it wants fewer children and higher quality children. This was the central agenda of several international abortion groups and their founders. Both Margaret Sanger's Planned Parenthood Federation, the International Planned Parenthood Federation, and Marie Stopes International have had a long and indelible history of eugenics advocacy. Racism, in other words. Stephen Mosier wrote about the Sanger's racist eugenics policies in the pages of the Wall Street Journal 25 years ago. In an article entitled The Repackaging of Margaret Sanger, Mosier noted, "For Sanger had little but contempt for the Asiatic races, as she and her eugenicist friends called them. During her lifetime, she proposed that their numbers be drastically reduced. But Sanger's preferences went beyond race. In her 1922 book, Pivot of Civilization, she unabashedly called for the extirpation of, and I quote, weeds overrunning the human garden, end quote. For the segregation of morons, misfits, and the maladjusted, and for the sterilization of genetically inferior races. It was later that she singled out the Chinese, writing in her autobiography about the, and I quote, the incessant fertility of the Chinese millions spread like a plague, end quote, Margaret Sanger. In recent decades, in an attempt to shift the focus from eugenics and population control to abortion, advocates have cleverly latched on to a different campaign that supposedly promotes women's rights. This Trojan horse has been used to sneak their movement into other political arenas with broader agendas and, not least, lots and lots of money. Their ultimate goal is to pass international abortion laws under the guise of women's rights and women's health. Through their association with the Sexual and Reproductive Health Rights, SRHR movement, the abortion industry claims to advocate women's rights while naming abortion and contraception as an obvious subset of rights for women under this broader spectrum. This new rights category has also been used to rebrand the movement as a champion of the fight against climate change. Leave aside the question of whether global warming, as it used to be called, is actually a ticking time bomb waiting to explode. According to the hysterics who wrote the Davos Agenda and run a plethora of like-minded organizations, we can expect a very bleak future if humanity does not clean up its act by 2050. We at PRI are skeptics. Nonetheless, the SRHR movement has been flaunting its support of this well-funded agenda, parading with pride as an integral record and powerful supporter of the fight against climate change. Thus, they can claim not only to be fighting for women's rights, but fighting to save the planet as well. As proclaimed by IPCC Working Group co-chair Valérie Masson-Demont, and I quote, "It has been clear for decades that the Earth's climate is changing and the role of human influence on the climate system is undisputed," end quote. Of course, the Earth's climate is always changing. It was changing a billion years ago when there were no human beings on the planet. And it is changing now, mostly due to small changes in solar radiation as the sun goes through its normal sunspot cycles. But in the view of climate change advocates and climate crisis advocates, it is all humanity's fault. When floods or drought comes, crops fail, and famine comes to already poverty-stricken countries, it's because there are too many people on the planet. But SRHR advocacy groups have a solution. They want to focus on the lack of access to health services in places affected by adverse weather events. And there are more and more of these places, they say, because the climate crisis is generating unusually grave hardship in more poor countries. Of course, when SRHR groups talk about access to health service, they really mean that women should be encouraged to contracept, sterilize, and abort themselves. They argue that access to abortion and the distribution of contraception before climate change strikes can, by lowering fertility, alleviate the distress in impoverished countries. Of course, what they are really arguing is that people, and not the weather, are the problem. If that sounds a lot like what Margaret Sanger and her eugenicist friends were arguing a century ago, it's because it is. Promoting fears of overpopulation has always been a staple of abortion industry, and it still is today. As Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg once observed, abortion was legalized in the U.S. to reduce populations that we don't want to have too many of. Clearly, the abortion lobby's association with a climate crisis has not changed its population control agenda. Rather, it has simply offered it as an opportunity to rebrand its population control agenda as an important part of the solution to so-called climate change. Don't be fooled. Overpopulation is a myth. Abortion is the taking of a human life. And there is room on God's green earth for all of us. This has been your latest weekly briefing from the Population Research Institute at pop.org. Thanks for listening.